Greetings and welcome to the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association's Patients Come First podcast series. Podcast episodes are available on VHHA.com and on popular podcast hosting apps including Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, and many others. We're a member of the Public Health Podcast Network, Virginia Audio Collective, and the Family Podcast Network. Podcast episodes also air each Saturday at noon and Sunday at 10 a.m. on 100.5 FM, 92.7 FM, and 820 a.m. across Central Virginia, and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. on 93.9 FM in Richmond. Please send questions, comments, feedback, or guest suggestions to pcfpodcast@vhha.com. That's pcfpodcast@vhha.com. I'm Selena Lauren. Today, we're pleased to welcome Dr. Jeremy Bach, Medical Director for VHC Health's cardiology practice. He joins us for a conversation about his career, a new procedure at VHC Health to help control high blood pressure, and more. But first, thanks for being with us. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's our custom to start each episode by getting to know our guests a bit more. So, Dr. Bach, here's what we know. You're an interventional cardiologist, endovascular specialist, and physician leader at VHC Health. You've practiced medicine at health systems in Maryland, Florida, and Virginia, and earned degrees from Colgate, Georgetown, and the University of Maryland. I imagine those basic professional and academic details only scratch the surface of your unique personal story. So, if you would, share a few essential things about yourself that our listeners should know.
So, I went into medicine because I like helping patients, and I also like doing cool things, and a number of the newer procedures that we're performing at Virginia Hospital Center qualify for both of those.
Healthcare's constant complexities and distractions can make it difficult to focus on medicine. Covaris can help. Covaris offers medical liability insurance, value-based care risk protection, employer stop-loss insurance, and so much more. You can count on Covaris for protection and services that help you stay free to focus on improving clinical, operational, and financial outcomes. Find out all that Covaris can offer you at Covaris.com. That's Coveris.com. Insurance products issued by Medical Professional Mutual Insurance Company and its insurance subsidiaries.
And as a cardiologist, you know these stats, but for the benefit of our listeners, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report that high blood pressure is a leading cause of death in the United States, affecting about 50% of American adults, or 120 million people. Some of your clinical work focuses on controlling high blood pressure, also known as hypertension, in patients with that condition. As a baseline for this conversation, can you share a primer on hypertension and potential health risks associated with it?
Of course. As you mentioned, a lot of individuals have high blood pressure, 120 million people, and that represents about half of the U.S. population. Now, unfortunately, less than 25% of people with hypertension have their blood pressure under control based on our current guidelines. This is a major problem because high blood pressure is the most important contributor to non-fatal heart attack, stroke, and death from cardiovascular causes. So when we look at the importance of addressing certain issues, hypertension immediately comes to the top of that list as far as improving patient quality of life and length of life.
And what are some of the common strategies, whether medicinal or behavioral, recommended for addressing hypertension?
For years now, lifestyle modification and medical management have been the mainstay for controlling blood pressure. When somebody comes into the office with elevated blood pressure, conservative lifestyle modifications such as good exercise, eating low sodium, and weight loss are always recommendations, no matter what the other plan of care is. For many years, we've primarily tried to control blood pressure through medical management, and we have a variety of different classes of medicine all address the physiology that leads to high blood pressure in different ways. A lot of this physiology is dictated by hormones that are released by the kidneys and the adrenal glands. Unfortunately, despite these measures, many patients have very poorly controlled blood pressure. Among the 120 million people that we mentioned that have hypertension, about 10% of patients fall into the resistant hypertension category. This means that their blood pressure is not well controlled on three medications, or it takes four or more medications to control the high blood pressure.
And you've kind of touched on this, but for higher risk individuals with hypertension that is resistant to other methods of treatment, you employed a kidney procedure recently approved by the FDA that can help control high blood pressure. As I understand it, this is a minimally invasive procedure that focuses on nerves around the kidneys that send signals to the heart which impact blood flow regulation. Can you explain this procedure and how it works?
Of course. The idea that blood pressure is at least partly controlled by the nerves that surround the artery to the kidney spans all the way back to the mid-20th century, where surgeons performed something called sympathectomies, where they removed certain nerve bundles from the body. This drastically reduced high blood pressure in people that were resistant to therapies that were available at the time period. Unfortunately, these procedures were associated with a lot of side effects, and it could not be incorporated into standard of care because of that. But we know now through research that the nerves that surround the arteries to the kidneys lie at the crossroads of the controlled centers for blood pressure in the body. These nerves really receive input from the central nervous system and then provide signaling or output to the kidneys and the adrenal glands. So we know that if there is a way to selectively destroy these nerves, that it would interrupt the deleterious mechanism that drives unnecessarily high blood pressure in the body. The first studies of procedural management of high blood pressure goes back about 20 years, where they looked for ways to destroy these renal nerves, either with ultrasound or radio frequency or other methods. And the initial studies suggested that this really had a nice impact on blood pressure.
And what kind of patients are candidates for this? What is the recovery time like? And what have the results been like for patients you treat who have undergone this procedure?
Sure. So right now, we're really looking for patients that have resistant hypertension. That means that they have successfully participated in lifestyle modifications and are regularly taking their prescribed medicines to lower the blood pressure. Again, about 10% of individuals with high blood pressure have resistant hypertension and therefore are not responding to these standard of care methods. We're really looking for that 10% of patients with high blood pressure that are truly resistant to existing standard of care and offer them this procedure.
Thank you so much again for being with us today. And before we let you go, we do have a tradition on the Patients Come First podcast to ask our guests a pair of fun personal questions. To keep things interesting, we have a list of 10 mystery questions. So please choose two numbers between 1 and 10, and I'll ask you the corresponding questions.
Okay, I'll take 3.
Number 3, what is the best piece of advice you ever received, and why does it stick with you?
I was told long ago by one of my mentors, when I was in clinical training, that you learn more from your mistakes than your successes. And I think that's really true. The pathway to becoming a physician or any profession, people make mistakes along the way, especially when you're young. And I remember those mistakes, and I remember how I changed the things that I do as a result of that. And I think those are probably the best learning opportunities and ways to get better, no matter what field you're in.
I think that's great advice. And do you want to pick one more number?
Let's go with 2.
Number 2. If you were stranded on a deserted island, what one book, one album, and one movie would you take with you to keep yourself company? We will spot you a copy of the religious text of your choice. So other than that, what are your 3 entertainment survival kit picks?
My favorite book, I would have to say, is The Sun Also Rises by Ernest Hemingway. My favorite music album at all time is probably Exile on Main Street by the Rolling Stones. And what was the last essential?
A movie.
A movie. I would probably have to say Ghostbusters from 1984.
Ghostbusters.
Hey, anybody see a ghost?
They catch the ghost that won't stay dead. They're armed.
Ah!
they're dangerous.
Try to imagine all life as you know it stopping instantaneously and every molecule in your body exploding at the speed of light.
Right. That's bad.
Okay. Awesome.
That movie is still entertaining even, 40 years after it came out.
For sure. I love those answers. That will bring us to the close of another episode of the Virginia Hospital and Healthcare Association's Patients Come First podcast. If you like what you heard, please make sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and subscribe so you know when new episodes are released. And we want to once again thank our guest, Dr. Jeremy Bach of VHC Health, for joining us today. So thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.